broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Today, because we're more polarized than we've ever been before. Israel, Iran, Israel, Palestine, Jew, Muslim, Christian, Catholic, left, right, black, white. It's like there's no middle ground anymore. Everything is in opposition to something else. And I think that social media is causing this more than we realize. I just look at myself. When I start to do searching for news aggregation on Twitter, I just go down my Twitter feed. I follow all the people that put out the best news and everything, and I just scroll down my feed, and I get a lot of good news stories from that. But I can see why we're so polarized just by going, logging onto Twitter and seeing everything. No wonder people are so angry. No wonder people are so upset with whoever they think their opposition is. That's all you see. That's all you get now whenever you log onto social media is your opposition or what you think is your support or your side of things. And it's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle. Oh, but see, we chose the red pill. And then there's that layer of things too, where people get so involved with the left versus right. I'm going to prove the left wrong. I'm going to prove Democrats bad. That they push themselves so far to one side that that becomes their identity. And it's just annoying to me. And I'm just trying to avoid that. I don't want that. And so it's like, I don't know where to go. Pro-Israel, pro-Palestine. It's like Nikki Haley comes out today. See, this is the stuff. This is why people get so mad. Nikki Haley addresses, I believe it was the UN. Oh, it's so great that we're finally moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Oh, it's so great. We're going to get peace. Oh, but these violent protesters, you know, they're so bad. Okay, well, you know. Maybe they're bad. Maybe they're not. Maybe Hamas is leading it. Maybe they're not. How about the fact Israel, you know, funded Hamas? I mean, you know, but here's Netanyahu bitching about the very Hamas agents he's claiming that are starting this fight in the Gaza Strip. And then Nikki Haley, who 3 weeks ago says Assad is the worst person on earth. Look at what he does to his people. Well, what about what Israel's doing to people? So, okay, but then I step back and I say, well, wait a second. Doesn't Israel have the sovereign right to decide where its capital is, where its embassy is? I mean, if their borders are getting invaded, I mean, don't they have the right to do something about it? And then you watch some of the video and it's Muslims just in the Gaza Strip, I guess, doing a Muslim prayer with tear gas raining down on them. Well, who's right and who's wrong? None of it makes any sense, in my opinion. I think you're all crazy. To be perfectly honest, I think everyone involves nuts. I think if you're willing to drop tear gas on people because you don't like where they are or who they are, or you're shooting them with sniper bullets or shooting them down because you think they're here to invade your country or whatever, well, maybe you're a little nuts. And you know what? If you're a Muslim who wants to go into the Gaza Strip and do a whole call to prayer while people are getting shot at and tear gas dropped on them, well, you know what? Maybe you're a little nuts. So you know what it is? Oh, and then there's Drudge Report today. Don't even get me started on Drudge Report. I don't know who's running the Drudge Report today. I don't think it's Matt Drudge, because today's Drudge Report, in my opinion, has been an absolute miserable failure, including that headline right there. I don't even believe that headline. I'm going to cover all of it. The world's gone nuts, though. That's what I know.
Thank you.
It's Tuesday, May 15th, 2018, and the world has gone totally mad. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. It's all good, though, because I've got all the news stories just to tell you how mad the world has gotten. And it's gotten mad. Totally crazy. Somehow lost in the middle of all this is the fact that we're all human floating through deep space on a rock that somehow, thank God, we're able to inhabit. I mean, my God, the very miracle that here we are on planet Earth, essentially a lifeboat in the middle of space, floating around conscious, is a miracle, and we can't even come together. No. We have to fight. We have to do black versus white. We have to do Israel versus Palestine. We have to do Republican versus Democrat, liberal versus conservative. Oh, it's mind-numbing. And then I get on social media, and it's just like the same crap over and over, and the same people. Oh, more selfies. Oh, look at me. I'm in D.C. Oh, it's like, oh, I just can't even take it anymore, to be honest with you folks. It's honestly driving me insane. But of course the world goes crazy. Of course people go insane when that's what they deal with all day long. Trump's a Russian agent. Trump's not a Russian agent. Trump colluded with Russia. Trump never colluded with Russia. How can anybody be sane in this world? Well, I try to bring a sense of sanity here. Or at least I try to make sense of it all, but it's almost impossible these days. The waters are so muddied. Which isn't that like the overall point? Like, isn't that the overarching point is that politics, geopolitics, world politics, whatever you want to say, has gotten so convoluted, so twisted, so confusing. I mean, isn't that the issue? Why have we gotten to this point? Well, the answer's obvious. What may have started as a small group of criminals taking advantage of systems has now reached epic proportions. Mass crimes across the world, launching wars over fake news. Oh, yeah, they just do that all the time. Oh, yeah, fake news, launch a war? Yeah, let's go for it, baby. So, the latest tensions are breaking out between Israel and the Gaza Strip. Now, look, here's my thing. Israel has the right to decide where its capital is and the right with the U.S. to decide where its embassy is. 100% undeniable. Now, people can say, why did Trump do it now? Bad timing. Well, there is no good timing for this. There is no good timing. You could have done it any time and you would have had the same results. But Laura Loomer is actually in Israel. She's been reporting on this for a while. She saw this conflict coming. I mean, I guess anybody did that's been doing their due diligence researching this. But I'm trying to get an idea of what the people of Israel are saying. I mean, Laura, with all the tensions reaching this paramount point, with all the violence going on in the Gaza Strip, yet the celebrations in Israel over the embassy and the capital in Jerusalem, I mean, what is it like just being on the streets right now of Israel? I mean, are people talking about this? Is this dominating people's thought process, or is it just kind of background noise? What is it like in Israel right now, Laura Loomer?
Well, there's not chaos on the streets, despite what the media is saying. I mean, Gaza, of course, it's a chaotic situation right now. In Bethlehem, it's also chaotic, and there are protests today as well. And people are concerned about it, and there are people talking about it. But for the most part, most Israelis who I've met are actually in support of the embassy move. And, you know, there is always conflict 24/7 in Gaza, right? There are terrorist invaders who are always trying to come into Israel and, you know, innocent, kill innocent Israelis and attack the IDF. The conflict between the IDF and Palestinians is never going to end. But now that the embassy has finally been moved to Jerusalem, the media, of course, has decided to focus on it. And it's just the timing of things as well. So today, of course, was the first day of Ramadan, the beginning of Nakba as well. So, of course, I mean, it's almost a given that there's going to be an increase in violence. This happens all the time throughout the Middle East. on the first day of Ramadan. Throughout the month of Ramadan, there's always an increase in violence. And so part of me really wants to know, you know, why the media is choosing to, and it's kind of a rhetorical question, right? But why the media, as you were, you know, earlier explaining, is choosing to kind of exacerbate things and also just, you know, fuel the fire even more to create more animosity, more hate, more tension, and really overblow the situation.
Well, I'm just sitting here and it's almost like it makes sense if you look at it on a one-dimensional perspective, but if you dig any deeper, it's like it doesn't make any sense. Okay, yes, the tension has always been there, but why increase tension? Why? It's like, why are these people so upset that the embassy got moved to Jerusalem? Why are these people so upset that Israel's decided its capital is in Jerusalem? It's like, how does that actually affect their daily lives? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what are they thinking? That's like me going out and rioting and protesting because they want to take a bunch of Thomas Jefferson statues down or take a bunch of, you know, founding father statues down. It's like, well, look, you know, I don't agree with that. That's bad, I think. But, you know, what does that do that actually impacts me enough that I need to go out and riot and protest? I mean, I'm just not getting it.
It doesn't. It doesn't affect their lives. But the issue is that they're constantly looking for an excuse to attack Israel and to riot and protest. People need to understand that Gaza is led and taken over by Hamas, right? Hamas is a terrorist organization. Whether or not there are people in the United States who don't want to admit that, who don't want to recognize that, but Hamas is a terror organization. And in the Hamas charter, it says Israel will exist and continue to exist until Islam obliterates it. And that's a direct quote by Hassan al-Banna, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. That is in the Hamas charter. That is what...
But don't you think, though, but don't you think that's like, but to an extent, don't you think that's like ISIS coming out and you know, saying that they're against the United States and all this stuff when we know damn well that the American United States have funded ISIS in the past, has armed ISIS in the past? So isn't it kind of the same thing? I mean, Israel's been behind Hamas in the past, so who's wrong, who's right?
Hamas is indoctrinating, you know, these people, and they're indoctrinating them and teaching them on a daily basis. I mean, there are videos of this too. Little school children, like 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, being indoctrinated from birth to hate Israel and hate Jewish
people. So now we're actually getting to the bare bone. Now I understand. Okay, so let's stick to that though. So it's kind of like a Black Lives Matter type thing, where what's really behind Black Lives Matter is not because they care about Black lives. If they cared about Black lives, they'd be outside abortion clinics. It's all about creating a divide and creating tension. I mean, that seems to be what really this is all about.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's not like the IDF is just standing on the border firing bullets into Gaza and killing people for sport and fun on a daily basis. I mean, I'm getting really agitated being here in Israel and seeing things firsthand and seeing the reports from the mainstream media in America, in the international media, because why aren't they talking about the fact that there are borders? Why aren't they talking about the fact that Hamas is literally offering to pay thousands of dollars to each protester who rushes the border to gain entrance into Israel to murder and commit acts of terror against Israelis?
And I remember when they were saying that last week, they were saying charge the border, charge the fence. And I'm sitting here like, why would you tell them to do that? They're going
to
get killed. Like, what do you think is going
to
happen?
But they want them. And that's what people don't need to understand. This is how Hamas operates. And they always have and they always will. What Hamas does is they think of strategies. This is why they use children and women as human shields. They employ strategies that will result in the most amount of casualties, right? Because when they can, they don't care about the people there, right? They don't care about lives lost. What they care about is using those dead bodies to incite international outrage to gain support for their cause. Because when you have, you know, members of the West, Western nations coming out in support of Gaza, right? A terrorist state.
All right. We're going to finish this up on the other side. We'll finish this up on the other side. But this is more divide and conquer by the globalists. That's really what's behind all this.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Yeah, you'll lose your mind trying to keep your head straight when you're covering all this madness. All right, Laura Loomer is still with me. She's going to be with me for another minute or two before I got to jump over. Dan Lyman is going to be joining us. Laura, Palestine claims Jerusalem is theirs. Israel claims Jerusalem is theirs. So if this is a fight for Jerusalem, to me, it's like, okay, Israel's winning. I mean, is that what's going on here? It's like, it's all madness to me. But I understand your frustration. See, I've been at events. I'm not trying to say it's the same thing as what happened in Ferguson, Missouri. But the media coverage is the same. Where I'm on the ground in Ferguson, Missouri, I'm seeing what's going on. I'm seeing it firsthand. And then I'm seeing how the media reports it. And I'm like, okay, no. They are reporting everything completely wrong. Whether they're intending to lie to you or whether they're really just that clueless, I don't know. But, I mean, as someone that just sees what's going on, what do you think is the problem with the way this is being reported on in the media?
Well, they're not being honest. The Muslims are just pushing a divide and conquer message. And what I want to know, I'll ask you this question, Owen. How many times is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran?
All right, but hold on a second. You say the Muslims. What Muslims? I'm not really, what Muslims? Are you talking about Hamas?
Yes, the Muslims in Gaza, Hamas, yes. Just answer really quick. I don't know if you know, but how many times is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran?
I don't know. You'll have to tell me.
Zero, all right? It's not even mentioned. But it's mentioned almost about like 700 times in the Torah, right? The Jewish holy book. So what I don't understand is how are the Muslims going to claim, right, that Jerusalem belongs to them when they don't even have any prayers for Jerusalem?
I think we're underestimating what the problem here is. I mean, okay, we can say Muslims, but this isn't about religion to me. I think that these people are brainwashed fools, is what I think. I mean, you look at what the leaders of Iran do. They burn an American flag. I mean, look, again, I'm not even trying to get in the middle of it. Iran, United States, whatever. Why are the leaders burning an American flag? Like, to me, that shows you the lack of intellect, the lack of maturity. And of course, am I surprised that they've got a bunch of people that are willing to go out in the Gaza Strip in the middle of a desert and do a call to prayer and get shot at and tear gas dropped on them? I shouldn't be surprised by that at all. To me, it's the same thing that we see in America. It's just poor, innocent, brainwashed fools being told where to do so that they can have a new media story and have some new larger conflict and demonize some other group.
Yeah, look, I agree with you that it's brainwashed. These people are brainwashed. Most of them are. But they're brainwashed by an ideology. They're brainwashed by, and I'm just going to come out and say it, they're brainwashed by Islam. And it's no coincidence that the aggressors and the people around this region in the Middle East, whether it be Iran, Syria, the Palestinians in Gaza, like, what do they all have in common? They're all Muslims. So, look, I know that it's, the elephant in the room, and the people on the mainstream media don't want to come to that very harsh but very true reality, but this is what it all boils down to. And you may not say it's a religious, war or religious situation, but it's definitely ideological, right? There's no denying it. There is no denying what is at the root of this.
Well, and look, I don't want to. I'm trying so hard these days to not be partisan and just to not get in. Muslim, Jew, I'm just do your own thing. I mean, but here's my thing, and I think that you make a fair point here. To me, Jerusalem belongs to Israel. That is Jerusalem in Israel. I feel that is fair. And if Palestine wants to fight for that land, well, okay, you're seeing what happens. Your people are dying. So you're sending your people out to die to fight for Palestine, to fight for Jerusalem to be Palestinian land when it's Israeli land right now. But then on the other hand, I look at what's happening and you've got 60 protesters dying. I mean, nobody wants to see that, but why are they out there to begin with? All right, Laura, I got to jump. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have you on again this week to get more into this as things develop. And, but good reporting out there. Thank you for being out there and thank you for coming on with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so there goes Laura Loomer, at Laura Loomer on Twitter. And again, she's in Israel covering all this. I'm just... It's like, when I have to listen to Nikki Haley, I mean, that woman... she says that Israel is showing the utmost restraint in dealing with the protesters. Really? 60 dead? dropping tear gas on the protesters, that's showing restraint? Okay, but then again, I say, doesn't Israel have the right to protect its border? Doesn't Israel have the right to protect its people? When you've got radical regimes saying, yeah, go to the Israeli border, charge the fence, go over the fence. Well, what are you setting your people up to do except die? It's honestly just all insane to me. But this is usually what happens right before something on the other end clarifies everything. This is typically how it goes. Now, I'm not going to get too into this, but I'm just going to cover this now. And maybe if I have time for calls later, I probably won't. We're filled with guests today. We just had Laura Loomer on. Dan Lyman joins me in the next segment. Roger Stone, second hour with Tyler Nixon. Gerald Celente in the third hour. So I probably won't even have time for your calls. So I'm just going to mention this now. I put out a call to action to my audience yesterday. Find me the Iran deal. Send it to me. Send me the documents. I got the documents. Thank you to Sarah. Thank you for Derek. You guys forwarded them to me. And it's pretty much what you would expect, except this. Now, give me a doc cam here. This is the official page right here. This is the official signature page of the Iran deal. You've never seen anything like this before in your life. This is like end of the year yearbook signing signatures right here. It just says, the actual official document is the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. It was signed by, off the top of my head, China, European Union, Germany, Russia, the United States, Iran, and I think a couple more in there. I can't remember. But you won't find any president signatures on here. You will find ambassadors, you will find diplomats, and you will find John Kerry. You will only find one Iranian, not even the supreme leader. And again, look at this. Have you ever seen an official document signed like this with just signatures sporadically on the cover page? It's like a yearbook signature thing here. So that's that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're expanding right now. InfoWars is expanding. You're seeing the expansion. 10 hours of live content every day. David Knight, Alex Jones, myself with Roger Stone. That's all possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. Back on sale right now is Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 25% off. And we have a limited supply of this available right now, so take advantage of this special before time runs out. Over 6,000 reviews there. 4.9 star reviews. You just heard the guests on the Alex Jones Show today talking about how great our toothpaste is. Super Blue fluoride free toothpaste. Just look at the back of the toothpaste that you're using if you're not using Super Blue fluoride free toothpaste. Look on the back, look on the label there, and look at the ingredients and look at fluoride. It'll tell you 0.014% or something, and then harmful if swallowed, contact poison control immediately. Well, do you really want poison in your toothpaste? No, I don't think I want poison in my toothpaste. So I use Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste from InfoWarsStore.com. It's got the nascent iodine, it's got the colloidal silver, and it does not have the fluoride, which is a harmful chemical. So it's Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste at InfoWarsStore.com.
Jerusalem is still the capital of Israel and must remain an undivided city accessible to all.
As soon as that's Bill Clinton, 1992. I will begin the process of moving the United States ambassador to the city of Israel as chosen as its capital.
George Bush, 2000.
Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel, and I have said that before, and I will say
Barack
again.
Obama, 2008.
Will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
And then Trump, 2016. What's the difference? Trump actually did what he
Therefore,
said he'd do.
I have determined that it is time.
All right, so bring that down. Okay, so folks, you have to understand something. My frustration here is real. I don't want to come on here and report fake news. I don't want to be dummied and pushed around and go with narratives and talking points that aren't real. And we're going to be joined by Dan Lyman, and we can talk more about this in a minute. But Michael Zimmerman comes in here during the break and points something out to me that I should have realized. The only reason this is such a big story is because of Donald Trump. That is it. If it was Obama that moved the embassy and then this started happening, it'd kind of be a side story. Same for Bush, same for Clinton. It'd just be the normal, oh, yeah, you know, protesters in the Gaza Strip. Oh, yeah, IDF, you know, fighting them, whatever. Okay, that's just normal stuff. Oh, but because it's Trump, now it's the big story. And that really is the truth. Because they can always spin it to blame Trump for the violence now. And that's what they'll do. But let me just be perfectly clear. I am on the side of Israel having the right to decide where its embassy is at, and I do believe that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Now, other people point out, and you can look this up, that the Quran actually does make reference to Jerusalem. It just doesn't call it Jerusalem. So that's fine. You can have that debate. If Palestine wants to fight Israel for Jerusalem, go ahead. You're not going to win. So to me, the battle is over. Sorry, but the truth hurts. But if you want to keep fighting for Jerusalem, then this is what's going to happen. Hamas is going to keep sending these people in. Brainwashed street soldiers, unfortunately, are going to keep going in there, and they're just going to keep getting killed. They're going to keep having tear gas dropped on them. They're going to keep getting killed by IDF or whatever it is. So that's just how it's going to go. I'm not saying who's bad. I'm not saying who's good. I'm just telling you that's what's going on. Now, Dan Lyman joins me. He is our secret. He runs the whole show from Switzerland. BuzzFeed found it all out, folks. BuzzFeed broke it all down. But really, Dan, you've heard what I've been talking about here. The madness is there doesn't seem to be any solution. Nobody can come to any terms. Nobody can come to agreement. It seems like everything is just based in hatred. The Jews point at the Muslims and say, "You're bad." And then the Muslims point at the Jews and say, "No, you're bad." I'm just sitting here like, dude, you know what? I live in America. How about you guys just bomb each other to hell over there in the Middle East? And I can I just live my life? Can Dan Lyman just live in Switzerland? Do we have to deal with this Muslim, you know, constant conflict in the Middle East all the time now? I mean, there's no solution to me. So why not just let them figure it out? What do you think, Dan?
I think that's a great idea. Personally, I think that that situation is so sticky that I'd rather see us not involved in it at all and just let them handle their business as they see fit. It does seem like Israel can handle their own. They do have the weaponry to do so. And I don't think that a bunch of retrogrades from Gaza charging the wall is really going to affect Israel all that much. I think they have bigger things to tackle over there. But like I said, I just like to see us out of there. 100%, and no more than any other country would be great.
I completely agree. It's time to just, I mean, I don't know if you can bring all the troops home as far as a strategic operation is concerned, but it's time for us to just wipe our hands with the situation. I understand that Israel's our ally. That's fine. But you know what? Unless Iran actually bombs you, quit sitting here and pointing the finger at Iran like they want to nuke you. I'm sorry. I don't think Iran is that stupid. They might be dumb enough to burn an American flag during some official, display or, you know, whatever production that they do. Okay, they might be dumb enough to do that. I don't think they're dumb enough to actually bomb Israel, though. I don't think they're actually that dumb. That's just what they want us to believe so that, you know, we have to take out Iran, the bad guy.
It could certainly just be all rhetoric, that's for sure. I think we have problems at home that need to be handled more than anything, and I'd like to see those focused on before we go worrying about the rest of the world's problems, personally.
What is the media in Switzerland like right now? Are they covering this at all? Is this a big story in Switzerland? Is anybody talking about this?
Sure, a little bit. The Swiss media here is kind of just your standard center left to hard left, organizations. There aren't a ton of Swiss outlets, but we get plenty of media from Germany as well and Austria, of course, all German speaking nations. And but the media here is pretty garbage, generally very anti-Trump, and they're covering this to an extent, but just the same as any other international outlet, I would say.
So it's not getting maybe the big national attention it's getting in America, but they are talking about it?
Yeah, to a degree. You'd be amazed how apolitical the Swiss are, just in general, in comparison with other places. People here just kind of mind their own business. And, you know, to an extent, I'm sure in their private conversations, they're a little more political, but the Swiss are very reserved and, you know, tend to not just step on too many toes out in everyday life. You know what I mean?
Wow, you know, that's funny. That kind of also goes along with their foreign policy. Unlike us, who have to meddle in everyone's business, so no wonder we have to sit here and have an opinion on everything, because we're meddling in everything.
Yeah, and it translates to much lower taxes here too, which I think many viewers would find shocking. We don't have a huge military or interventions to be financing here. So generally the taxes are much lower, we found, at least so far, than anywhere in the States we've ever lived.
Well, that would make sense. That would actually make a lot of sense. Now, let's get to the other issue that I guess we could say they're attacking you on. It really doesn't make any sense. It's not like, it's like, oh, a secret reporter, Dan Lyman. I mean, yeah, he just puts his names on the articles. He just does reports from Switzerland. Yeah, we're really trying to hide Dan Lyman. But, I mean, what is it with them now? It's like they cannot find anything to bring us down. They tried fake news. They tried racist bigots. They tried Russian operatives. So now it's like they're trying, Swiss operatives. Or it's just like they try to throw anything at the wall. I mean, why is it right now that they're trying anything they can to try to make us look bad? It doesn't even make sense anymore.
It's pretty funny. And I want to start off by saying that the richest part of this entire debacle on BuzzFeed's end is that both of the journalists that contributed to this piece are based in Toronto, Canada. And one of the women who wrote it, she has a very Russian-Ukrainian sounding name. Not that that's really all that relevant, but the irony is there.
So you're telling me two Canadians are complaining that an American is publishing on InfoWars from Switzerland?
That's correct. I don't know for sure that they're Canadian citizens, but they are based in Toronto. And obviously BuzzFeed is an American company. So to be worried about who's writing articles from where and posting from where it's pretty rich considering their position.
No, I think they got it all figured out. I think this is the big one. I think that this is the one that's going to bring us down. BuzzFeed figured us out. We have a correspondent in Switzerland. I mean, they really did a number on us now. I don't know what we're going to do, Dan. How do you go on now that you're outed as a reporter in Switzerland? It's not like we talked about you reporting from Switzerland. I mean, now you're outed, Dan.
I'm throwing in the towel. I'm done getting out of this business. And I hope to never be doxxed in this vicious manner ever again.
Oh my gosh. No, that's what you have to do. You just have to throw in the towel. They've bested you. They figured out that you were in Switzerland. I mean, they could have just gone and actually watched your reports, you know, from Davos and watched your reports from Switzerland, but they let Facebook do the work for them and then they figured it out. It really is amazing though. Doesn't it show you how obsessed with us they are? I mean, BuzzFeed is so obsessed with us that as soon as something trickles down on Facebook, they jump on it and write a story about it.
The obsession runs deeper. I checked into the previous work of both of these journalists, and one of them is constantly, like every third piece has something about InfoWars or things about Jerome Corsi or Paul Watson. I mean, just she's on the horn all day with InfoWars stuff. So what's funny is this feature was just temporarily available on Facebook. So she must have just run to the computer and looked up InfoWars immediately and then some small potatoes Trump sites as well. It's a really laughable piece.
See, people don't believe me when I tell them that our detractors are more loyal listeners than our actual supporters. The people that hate us the most listen the most. I mean, they are obsessed. Hi, haters. Hi. Say hi, Dan. Say hi. Hi, Toronto-based BuzzFeed reporters. We'll be right back. Hi. Okay, I just want to clarify, because the crew is always looking out for me here. I've actually figured out a lot about myself here in the last break. I'm actually a contrarian gender. I'm contrarian gender. Because I've just decided, I just want to go against everyone's points from now on. So I'm just going to be a total contrarian. So I'm a contrarian gender. But then the crew also points out there's already the anti-gender. No. Contrarian gender is more of a philosophical thing than a sexual thing. So I am now the 74th gender. Contrarian gender. I just invented that today. I am contrarian gender. All right. Dan Lyman is my guest. He runs or is helping to run our Europe outlet of InfoWars, newswars.com, InfoWars Europe. Dan Lyman is all over the place with his stories out there. He's got a story that he just broke. But before we get to that story, Dan, I just want to focus one more minute here on the social media. So another story from BuzzFeed, other than the crack reporting they did discovering that you are in Switzerland and they deserve 10 Pulitzer Prizes for figuring that out. I mean, that was a big secret we were keeping, but they caught us there. I mean, you're even thinking about retiring. They got you so bad. But Twitter now is saying they're going to limit the visibility of tweets from people behaving badly. So this is their newest spin And Facebook is about to release a new terms of service. Twitter has announced they're about to release a new terms of service. This is going to be part of their terms of service. So it's just another spin that they're putting on it to say, oh, you know, act like a jerk, we're going to censor you. No, no, no. Say you support Trump. Say you are a Christian. We're going to censor you. That's what it really means.
Absolutely. And I think we have to say that we were warned by Matt Drudge, who did come into the studio there a couple of years ago and say that we all needed to be making our own platforms and to be getting out of the internet ghettos. And it looks like that the technocratic masters that be are just pushing us further and further and deeper into these ghettos. And so I think it is important, of course, that we have our own platforms, although who even knows how long those are safe for with the way things are going.
Well, and I think about this, too. Facebook and Twitter are both trying to use AI in order to bring this down. And, you know, you think about it, AI, we're creating AI. People are worried about becoming sentient, you know, worry about it kind of, you know, going rogue or whatever. Think about it. If this is the AI we're creating, a free speech censor, like is this the AI that we're grooming right now to eventually be some PC liberal nut job? I mean, that seems to be where this is going right now.
It's definitely very scary. We've got like a combination of Brave New World meets 1984 meets Fahrenheit 451 meets Blade Runner. I mean, the analogies go on and on, but I don't like where it's going right now. I'd like to see some sort of breakthrough, but it's going to take some serious leverage up at maybe, you know, the federal level to crack open what's going on at these tech companies. If that's even possible, who knows?
I like what you did there. It's a Brave New World combined with 1984, combined with Fahrenheit 451, and I'm going to throw one more in there, combined with Oblivion, because people like don't even know what humans are anymore, and they go after their own. But I digress. Now, let's get to your latest story at newswars.com. California patriots erupt against sanctuary city laws. Backlash against open border rises. So you've got this new story where a bunch of the citizens of California are going against the sanctuary cities. Santa Clarita is the highlighted city in your story here. But you're seeing more attention to this where citizen activists are actually going to city halls, going to these events and shouting about their opinions. They're upset. It seems like the citizens of California don't really want the sanctuary cities. It's just the elected politicians. How do you wrap your mind around that?
It's an interesting situation there. I lived in California for many years, right near Santa Clarita, actually, in Orange County. And the silent majority there is extra silent because of the politics in California. However, I think they've just had enough of watching their state go down the drain. Cost of living is totally untenable. That was one of the things that got me out of there initially. But looking back, I mean, there's so many reasons I should have gotten out of there just looking at the way things are going there now. But what was interesting about the Santa Clarita one was it happened close to a week ago, but these videos all started just going super viral from some journalists that had posted videos from being inside the city council there. And they had just American patriot after American patriot getting up on the microphone and just letting rip. And there was an amazing just string of actually Black Americans that were one after the other. You're showing one right there. They were wearing Trump hats, American flag hats, and they were just unleashing. And fortunately, the city council there was paying attention. They voted unanimously to challenge the sanctuary state law and join in with the Trump administration's lawsuit against Sacramento, basically.
Well, the sanctuary state laws and city laws are illegal and unconstitutional as far as I'm concerned. I think that the Justice Department and Trump are not acting swiftly enough on this. This should have been put out of existence a year ago. But, you know, you highlight a story in here. Don Rosenberg talks about his son that got killed by a Honduran illegal immigrant. And it's funny that you don't see or hear about those stories in the mainstream news. You got CNN stories all day long, MSNBC stories all day long about people that broke the law that are now getting deported. And it's like a sad story about them. Well, they broke the law. They knew they broke the law. So now they're suffering the consequences. But somebody like Drew Rosenberg, who dies from a Honduran illegal alien, you know, nobody talks about the Rosenbergs and how illegal immigration actually tears apart their families. So it seems like the angle, Dan, is always, oh, if you actually enforce immigration laws, you're tearing apart families of illegal immigrants. But they just totally ignore the law-abiding citizens whose lives are being torn apart. I mean, Kate Steinle is a big example. I don't see this as a winning battle for Democrats. I really don't.
Well, I think that that's clear. More and more, I think you're seeing just an utter rejection of this Democrat platform. I don't foresee a blue wave in this year, at the end of this year, personally. But you know, I guess that remains to be seen. But I think that this coddling and pandering to illegal aliens, people have just had enough of it, and that's why you're seeing, even in, you know, one of the bluest states in the country, you're just seeing outraged citizens showing up at city councils that are voting to just reject this whole cloth. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes in the future, but they're going to need to act fast if they want to save that state, because it's getting late in the ball game.
Yeah, and the same Democrats that virtue signal for black people to say that, oh, you've been ignored, you've been cast aside, well, then they cast them aside and ignore them and put illegal immigrants ahead of them. And that's why I think when you actually go to some of these events, most of the people that show up to the anti-sanctuary city policy events, like city councils and stuff, are actually black people and Hispanic people, because they are the ones that actually see this in their communities, see the negativity of the sanctuary cities in their actual communities.
Absolutely. And that was one of the most poignant things one of these ladies said. She said she came from a family of immigrants that came from St. Croix, and they came legally. They worked hard. She's now upper middle class, she said, and she lives in a great neighborhood. But she said the people that are being most directly affected by the amount of illegals pouring into California are the ones that live in neighborhoods and cities that are already struggling, like Watts, East Los Angeles. There's communities all across Southern California that, you know, it's hard to even believe that it's America when you drive through them, never mind California, the golden state. So, you know, you see these tent cities springing up all over the place. The amount of decay is just incredible. And yet people just keep pouring in, and California just keeps diverting funding to these people to, you know, keep them welcomed and feeling like they can keep coming to California. And, you know, a quick anecdote about how well they treat illegals and how much they cater to them. When I was living there, there was a few weeks where we noticed we'd be driving in neighborhoods just outside of our city, and we'd see like brand new DMVs that had just been built and were kind of being like the finishing touches were being put on them. And in California, everyone knows where every DMV is, because you might wait at it for 6 hours. You look for the best one. Now, at January 1st of that coming year, Jerry Brown signed a new law saying that illegal aliens could get driver's licenses. So weeks after we started noticing all these DMVs popping up, it was like January 2nd, and the lines were around the corner. They were in full swing, and it was just all basically illegal aliens there waiting to get their driver's licenses.
And I wonder, too, if they also get registered to vote during that process as well. And that's why a governor like Jerry Brown would want a policy like that to be implemented. Dan Lyman, thank you so much for joining us. Citizen Analyst is where you can find him on Twitter. He is running the News Wars and InfoWars Europe, so be sure to stay tuned there for the rest of Dan Lyman's great work coming up. Thanks, Dan.
Cheers, Owen. Thanks.
All right, there goes Dan. Also, some other just ridiculous news out of California from the Sacramento Bee. Report finds cases of STDs reach all-time high in California. So, yeah, they made it legal to knowingly infect a sexual partner with an STD. And what do you know? STDs go sky high. And they also have the Clean Needle Program. So I guess those policies in California, the Clean Needle Program, and you can infect anybody with an STD and not get in trouble for it, I guess those aren't really working out. All right, folks. The reason we're able to have Dan Lyman, who is just a kick-ass reporter out there in Switzerland, is because of your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So if you continue to support us at InfoWarsStore.com, we're going to continue to hire people, and we're going to continue to have other outlets, not just here in Austin, but in Switzerland, in England, in New York, in Florida, in D.C., everywhere. That's what your support at InfoWarsStore.com does for us. Be sure to check it out today. If you haven't yet, what are you waiting for? I just should just forget about it. I mean, I can't cover anything without somebody being upset about what I said or how I covered it. I've told you, I am live play-by-play commentary of everyday activity in America, focusing on politics, current events, and culture. That's what I do. If you don't like the truth, it's just like the liner says. This broadcast is not for the weak-minded. It's not for liberal snowflakes. So, you know, stiffen that upper lip and deal with it. This story just got handed to me. Facebook data on 3 million users reportedly exposed through personality quiz. So another example of an app on Facebook that gets compromised. And then all of your information gets compromised through that app. You know, I have to tell you, as somebody that doesn't really do social media, I mean, I have Snapchat that I'll do with friends because I kind of like sending, you know, quick videos or messages or something. I think Snapchat's cool. I never really tweet. I tweet maybe once or twice from the war room a week if something's trending and I'm trying to get more followers and build that base. I don't have Facebook at all. I don't have Instagram at all. I do this on YouTube and this live video goes out. But is the answer, so it's like Alex was talking about earlier, like, are we not mad enough at the fact that they're censoring us on social media? Like, are we not even focusing on the fact that we get ostracized, we get demonized, we get blackballed by these social media outlets because they want to crush us? Like, do we not report on that enough? Or do we not want to be redundant and sit there and report on it all day and then sound like whiners? It's like, how do you find the middle ground? But then I face a different philosophy that says, man, just get off social media. Like, just, I mean, it's so bad for your psychological health. I mean, it really is bad for your mental health, folks. Now, listen to this report. This comes from KDKA. I'm not sure where that's based out of. Major depression diagnoses up 33% from 2013 to 2016. I wonder what else was booming in those 4 years. Listen to this report from KDKA. Do we have audio on this, guys?
33% from 2013.
Hey, guys, you know, pause it. Let's just pause it right there. Let's just restart it from the beginning, get the full audio.
A study by Blue Cross Blue Shield has found that the number of Americans diagnosed with severe depression has jumped by 33% from 2013 to 2016. The study found that depression was likely linked to other issues that the patient was dealing with, as 85% of people diagnosed were also suffering from another chronic condition. There were more alarming findings. Such diagnoses in adolescents rose 63% and in millennials 47%. Physicians noted that the increasing use of electronics and social media may be playing a role. Matt Uris for KDKA News.
Now, guys, just plug into Google. Social media leads to depression. You'll find dozens of stories. So, look, you know what? I get it. Social media can be used for many different tools. It's great for marketing, especially if you're in media and you want to get a bigger reach. I'm just telling you, folks, if you want to be happier, if you want to have less depression, if you want to feel less like an outcast, I mean, trust me, I am a total outcast and I don't even feel like an outcast. It's just this weird mentality where it's like, oh my gosh, if I just have more followers, oh my gosh, if I just get as many likes as my friend, or oh my gosh, if I get this many likes, or it does not satisfy, it does not fulfill you. Real relationships, real people, that is what fulfills you. A relationship with God or higher power, whatever you want to think that is for yourself, that will give you clarity. That will give you your chi, not social media. So Roger's about to join me. We're going to take your phone calls, 888-201-2244. Roger Stone on the other side, and your calls, 888-201-2244. Social media is killing us, man. It's killing us. He's one of the most experienced, brilliant minds in political operations in United States history. His name is Roger Stone. His latest book, available at InfoWarsStore.com, is Stone's Rules, How to Win at Politics, Business, and Style. He joins us now live on The War Room. Roger Stone, the author of Stone's Rules, how are you today?
Thank you, Owen. I'm delighted to be back with you. Oh, and one of the frivolous lawsuits filed against me, very similar to the phony lawsuits filed against InfoWars and Alex Jones, the Project to Protect or United to Protect Democracy lawsuit, which charges me with nothing other than engaging in free speech. The allegation in this case is that after WikiLeaks posted material from the DNC, I repeated it here at the War Room, and therefore I have violated the privacy rights of a bunch of DNC employees. The underlying argument is, of course, that I worked with the Russians to hack the Democratic National Committee and gave the information to WikiLeaks. Entirely false, and there is no evidence to this effect. In any event, the judge in this case has ordered oral arguments for our motion to dismiss, which will be this Thursday, May 17th, in D.C. District Court, Courtroom 23A in Washington, D.C., at 1:30 in the afternoon. I encourage the mainstream media and the alternative media to cover this important hearing where my attorneys will state the case for dismissal. Just this motion to dismiss is epically expensive, as you know, but is our first strike in the fight for justice against these frivolous, baseless, but exceedingly expensive lawsuits.
Now, and unfortunately for you, because of the legal process, having this dismissed is actually probably more expensive than going to court winning and have them award damages to you. What makes you go along with this decision, Roger? I mean, are you just sick of dealing with this?
Well, we will file a Rule 11 notice, which means if the case is dismissed, then the plaintiffs will pay my legal expenses. This is, as you know, just harassment. It's exactly a carbon copy of what's going on at InfoWars, what's going on in the efforts to smear Alex Jones. The lawsuit against him, in which an individual named Jacobson claims that Alex Jones was grooming him for gay sex, ridiculous, has now been traced to Mark Garagos, who is a longtime Clinton operative, with the understanding that, quote, Jones will pay millions to make this go away. Well, no, he won't. He will fight tooth and nail against this smear. It's why I ask people in every show to go to the InfoWars.com store site and find the donate button. We need your support as never before. There is a globalist financed effort to shut InfoWars down, to deny me this forum, to deny Alex Jones and Owen Schroyer this forum. Make no mistake about it. They are hell-bent for leather to destroy InfoWars and silence our voice forever. Your contribution of $25 or $50 or $100. Yes, some InfoWarriors have even sent $500 or $1,000 would be a godsend at this time of crisis. We are on the ramparts fighting every single day to keep InfoWars vibrant and to keep moving and keep expanding. But we cannot do so without your help. And while you're at it, I urge you to look at some of our extraordinary products, nutraceuticals, books, T-shirts, and so on, knowing that anything you spend on the InfoWars.com site goes to fund the InfoWar. Alex Jones uses it to fund our coming expansion and to fight these frivolous lawsuits, which are endlessly expensive.
Yes, and we just had Mother's Day that just passed. So happy Mother's Day to all the great mothers out there, except the liberals, because then you don't want to say mother, because then there might be women that aren't mothers, and that's intolerant. So happy Mother's Day to everyone that's not a liberal, as to be not intolerant. But Father's Day is coming up. I am actually going to get my father, Roger Stone's latest book from InfoWarsStore.com, Stone's Rules. That's going to be a Father's Day gift for me. I've just outed myself. So, Dad, you know what you're getting now. I think you'll like it anyway. So I'm going to get Stone's Rules for my father for Father's Day. So a great Father's Day gift as well at InfoWarsStore.com. Stone's Rules, his latest book, How to Win at Politics, Business, and Style. All right, Roger, we're going to be taking phone calls with yourself, 888-201-2244. Is there something you want to cover before we jump out to the phone lines, Roger?
No, I really like the dialogue with the InfoWarriors. I'm sure a lot of people have questions about the Mueller probe, about what's going on in Israel. Our best wishes to Melania Trump, the first lady, who has had minor but important kidney surgery. So there's plenty of topics out there. I'd like to go to the phone lines and hear what you have to say.
Well, then we'll do just that. We start off with Chadwick calling in from D.C. Go ahead, Chadwick. Chadwick, go ahead.
How's everybody there at InfoWars? I want to thank
you for saving
my life.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wakanda forever.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
The topic of the day is, how can we all come together? And you keep asking that question. I keep saying the only way you come together with the opposition is you have to deprogram them. And to deprogram them, you have to have the fairness doctrine back in force. We need to get the president to get the FCC to reinforce the fairness doctrine so you, as a conservative or libertarian, can gain access to places like CNN and MSNBC and make them listen to your argument. You can grant them access to your outlet. They'll fail when they argue with you, but they can't keep you from going on their outlets. That's how we win. That's how we all come together. We have to deprogram the opposition.
Well, Roger, what do you think about that? Because you're one of the few personalities that they'll allow on CNN. Well, the only one they'll allow from InfoWars, but one of the few, you know, conservatives or opponents to their message that they'll allow on the MSNBCs and the CNN. So, I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, does CNN even want that?
Well, recognize that the FCC has no authority over cable television, and they have no authority over the internet. They, at this juncture, only have regulatory authority over broadcast television. Broadcast television is a dying medium, CBS, ABC, NBC, losing viewers to InfoWars and other outlets every single year. No, I think the most important thing could happen would be for the president to direct the Assistant Attorney General for Antitrust to examine the activities of Google, Facebook, Yahoo, and the other tech giants. Even as we speak, Owen, they are attempting to kneecap me in the sale of my new book, Stone's Rules, which you can go to the InfoWars store and buy. If I attempt to take the InfoWars buy link for this book and put it into a Facebook ad, it will almost immediately be rejected as violating their policies, even though there is no obscenity or other troublesome language in this link. If I tried to use a Google shortener to shorten the link, making it easier to post, well, then Google will declare it spam. I would like to tell you that I think these things are accidental, but they are not. They're part and parcel of the same effort that we're facing here at InfoWars for internet censorship. They fear us because we are fearless. They fear us because we're the tip of the spear and because we will cover the news as we see it. We don't have any corporate sponsors leaning on us to ignore this or to cover that. We bring it to you straight from the shoulder, unbridled and unvarnished. That's what we do here at InfoWars. So to answer your question, I'd like to see the Trump administration move on the monopolistic practices of the tech left. I'm Roger Stone. We're here with Owen Schroyer. You're on the War Room, and we will be right back. Welcome back. You're at Freedom Command Central. That's right. It's the War Room with your co-hosts, Roger Stone and Owen Schroyer. As you can see, Owen Schroyer is rocking the Mr. Smith look from The Matrix today. As you can read in Stone's Rules, no gentleman ever looks bad in a white shirt and a solid black tie. It is a guaranteed look of formality and Owen Schroyer is rocking it today. I want to bring your attention to a headline here in the, pardon me, the New York Times, if I manage to drop on the studio floor, from yesterday. A study shows that marijuana cases in New York City reveal a race gap, and that a disproportionate number of people who have been arrested and prosecuted for possession of marijuana are African American or Hispanic. This is precisely what is wrong with our drug laws. This is precisely what is wrong with the archaic drug laws of New York State. Think of this. Young black men in droves are being prosecuted in New York for something that is not even a crime in 29 states, possession. That's why I urge you to support the United States Cannabis Coalition.com, U.S. Cannabis Coalition.com, and our drive for reform. Now that I've gotten that out of my system, let's go back. There it is, the New York Times story. Let us go back to the phones.
Okay, then, Roger, we've got Kevin who's calling in from Canada. Go ahead, Kevin. You're on the War Room with Roger Stone.
Good afternoon, Owen.
Good to have you on.
Hey, Roger, longtime listener of the Alex Jones Show. I just wanted to say congratulations to you guys on keeping the show going on here. One of my main concerns, actually, as watching the show for so long, is why you have your YouTube channel live chat open when you have constant bunch of people that really don't belong there. I don't know, and they're nothing but a distraction when any other major YouTube.
Yeah, you know what? I'll go ahead and answer that. I'll go ahead and answer that, Roger. The live chat, we're just hands off of it. We understand that that people can say whatever they want in there, and I do believe that. I think that other people in the live chat can maybe report it. I'm not really sure. I'm not really involved with that. Other people have brought this to my attention, but we're just hands off of the live chat. We don't monitor that. We don't have a moderator in charge of that. That's just all YouTube's thing. So we're not involved with that live chat. I understand that people say inappropriate and insensitive things in there, but that's just the audience. I mean, that's like us trying to go through every comment on every video and delete the inappropriate ones. It's just not really good time management for us. But I understand your concern, Kevin. Was that it today?
No, it wasn't, actually. As a Canadian, I just wanted to applaud you guys for keeping the information real out there for all of us around the world, because as you probably know, as your friend of the North, we're not all liberal up here. And 1 month from now, we have an election in Ontario here. The largest sub-sovereign debt in the world, and we are in pain here, I assure you. And I know there's other Canadian listeners out there, too, and they know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you might want to pipe in on anything you know about Canadian politics.
Well, I know that there are a lot of Canadian audience members, and I know that Trudeau has embarrassed a lot of real Canadians out there with his foppiness. As far as your upcoming elections, I really don't know much about that. I don't even know really where the political leanings in Canada are right now. But I would hope for your sake that you guys have a more nationalistic run of politicians this time around, because obviously you guys have been going in the opposite direction.
For the record, Owen, that was provincially. We have a provincial election, not national, federal.
So a local in Ontario?
In Ontario, that's correct. And Ontario is the largest indebted nation, sub-sovereign nation in the entire world, larger than California. So, yes, we understand how bad socialism is here, like many other nations.
How is that possible? What is that, all in Toronto? I mean, how you guys, where's all this debt coming from? Quebec? What is going on?
Careful, my friend. I am French-Canadian, but and a proud one at that. But, yes, we don't all represent the province. Nevertheless, the debts are accumulated over decades and decades of mismanagement, OHIP. It could be a lot of, there's a lot of contributing factors, of course.
Wow. Okay, Roger, anything on that?
Yeah, Owen, if you go to the Watergate tapes, the White House tapes during Richard Nixon's time as president, there's a conversation between Nixon and Secretary of State, then National Security Advisor Henry Kissinger. And they're discussing Pierre Trudeau, then the premier, prime minister, I guess, of Canada. And Nixon says, yes, he's a real a-hole. Clearly, the acorn has not fallen very far from the tree in his son, who currently heads the Canadian government.
All right, Kevin, thank you for the call. Best of luck out there in your upcoming elections in Ontario. I meant no negativity towards Quebec. I actually like Quebec and I like Toronto. I was just confused at how Ontario was putting up as much debt as California. That just shocked me. All right, Kevin, let's move on then to Adam, who's actually calling in from Israel. Adam, you're on the air with Roger Stone. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Roger. Yeah, nice to finally talk to you. I haven't got around to talking to you yet. I did speak to Owen a few weeks ago. But, I was actually calling in about what's going on in Israel. I did want to mention to Owen, when Owen was talking the other day with, what was his name? Jake Lloyd? Yeah, when Owen and Jake were talking on the show a few days ago, they dropped in the theory, the possibility about the Iranian attack on Israel, which triggered our response. I live in the Golan Heights, by the way, so I actually heard they're going over.
Right.
They dropped, Jake and Owen dropped in the possibility that that might have been a false flag by Israel to justify taking out the Iranian bases in Syria.
Okay, and you wanted to respond to this?
Yeah, I know. I did actually try calling in on that day, but for some reason my call got dropped. I wanted to say, I mean, did you actually find any evidence to back up that possibility, that theory? Because I didn't hear any Iranian denial of the 22 rockets fired against Israel.
Well, I'd have to go back and listen to the context of the conversation to understand exactly what you're saying, because the larger commentary would be that Hamas has had Israeli backing in the past. So that would be like me saying it's a false flag for Hamas to be in the Gaza Strip, you know, causing a bunch of tension right now when we know that Israel has had ties to Hamas in the past. So I'd have to go back to understand the commentary of that situation. But you got 20 seconds left. Was there anything else, Adam?
I actually wanted to say, I'm just busy sitting reading the article here on Arutz Sheva, Israel National News, arrested for raising American flag on Temple Mount. Some guy was just arrested for raising American flag on the Temple Mount today by this.
All right, we'll have to look into that. Thanks for the call. Sorry we couldn't hold you long.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer and Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
And we're back. You're on The War Room, and we're taking your calls for Owen Schroyer or myself, Roger Stone. That number again, 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. We want to hear from you. So please call with your questions for Owen Schroyer or myself, and we'd be happy to have a dialogue. Owen, let's go to the call board. Who have you got?
Okay, next up is Jason calling in from New Mexico. Go ahead, Jason.
Thank you guys for taking my call. I won't be too long. Real quick, I was listening to The Breakfast Club on the way to work yesterday, and this is in regards to the sexuality expert that you spoke of last week, Deanne Carson, and basically your guys' take on the sexuality expert asking for consent to change a child's diaper was exactly the same. So yesterday I cut a video of your segment and the Breakfast Club segment, and it's kind of like you guys had a dialogue, but politically you guys are on two different spectrums, and I found it interesting that you guys agree when it comes to this common sense issue of how can a child give consent.
So you're saying that you said it was Good Morning America?
No, sorry about that.
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. Sorry.
Like Donkey.
They all merge together. I don't even know the difference.
So I just wanted to highlight that maybe we're not so different. It was an aha moment to me that the left and right could come together on a common sense issue. And if this could be, like, I was so motivated to cut a video, you guys, back to back. It's titled Breakfast Club and War Room Roast Sexuality Expert Deanne Carson.
And what's the name? Hey, what is the name of that YouTube channel so we can find that, Jason?
Informal Warfare.
Informal Warfare. Breakfast Club, War Room. Okay. Now, this is a good... See, Jason, I wish I knew more of this because I'm the kind of guy that doesn't like dividing. I like bringing people together. I like being able to break bread with people I disagree with at the end of the day. And Roger, I know, is the same way. In fact, Roger rubs elbows with a lot of these people that we might disagree with, but at the end of the day, they can still break bread. I mean, how do you think we deal with this, Roger? Someone that rubs elbows with the opposition more than the average conservative media person... I mean, how do we find common ground with these people? Is it just talking outside of the realm of politics, or what is the solution to this?
Well, first of all, I must say the Breakfast Club on radio is one of my favorite shows. I was supposed to appear on it this past Monday, and we had a conflict. I was unable to do so. Without exaggeration, Owen, I did 26 interviews today regarding Stone's rules. So I apologize to the InfoWars audience if my voice is starting to sound like Alex Jones with that gravelly tone that is so cool in his voice, just makes me sound beat. I think it's important to recognize that the political spectrum is not a straight line of left and right, but it is a circle. And therefore, there are certain issues in which we can have commonality if you're a right libertarian with some progressives. Progressives are against war. Progressives favor the preservation of civil liberties. They're against the war on drugs. And we found great commonality in our efforts to protect animals. We here at the War Room launched a campaign to stop the Veterans Administration from conducting these barbaric, horrific, cruel medical experiments on dogs, in some cases puppies as young as 6 weeks. And it got enormous coverage, and we were able to generate many, many emails to the Secretary of the Veterans Affairs Administration. And because he heard our cry, President Trump zeroed out the funding for these archaic experiments. Many of my friends who are progressives or liberals or completely non-political were involved in this campaign, were engaged in this campaign. It's a perfect example where we can find common ground. I don't know anyone, liberal or conservative, who doesn't love man's best friend. Hashtag dogs lives matter.
I guess the problem that we have, Roger, is on so many issues, we look at the opposition as just flat out liars because of their coverage. And so that becomes a stigma that they're liars, we're truth tellers, and so we kind of get lost and we lose everything in between. And I'm just not sure if this polarization can be turned around quick enough to avoid some sort of a larger conflict. Hopefully that's not the case. Jason, thank you so much for the call. We're going to check out that video. Let's jump over to Nelson in Georgia. Nelson, you're on the air with Roger Stone. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen, Roger, thanks for taking my call. The reason I'm calling today is because for the past week and a half, you guys have been circling around my projects, and it's driving me crazy. I run the Facebook censorship class action lawsuit and the Help Make America Great Again project. The goal of the Help Make America Great Again project is to build state-of-the-art indoor farms on a mass scale in every city on the entire planet. I have these programs running all over Facebook, and so if you pulled up my page, you can see what I am doing, the information I'm putting. I got an information card that has things every citizen should know in order to properly vote. And it provides all the trustworthy news sources, every video that everyone should see. I have the solutions, and we need to get together on a grassroots. We need to promote music. Music is a universal language. We need to promote, make new folk artists, because what they're giving us in our mainstream is garbage, and nobody wants it anymore. So if we provide them with a platform, They'll come like crazy. I have 67 businesses passing out my invitation.
No, you know what? You know what, Nelson? You know what? Here's the deal, because you're 100% right. We need to get you linked up with Mike Adams, because Mike Adams is doing a podcast here, and for the content that you're trying to bring, unfortunately, with our syndicated radio show format, it's tough for us to really get it out and to properly cover it. So it's not that we're not trying to. It's that under this format, it doesn't really make sense. But Mike Adams does his long-form podcast format, and he does a lot of other community outreach, and he can probably help with the farm stuff too. Are you familiar with Mike Adams, Nelson?
I do. I love Mike Adams. But listen, I'm a watchman for God. That's who I work for. That's who every one of you guys are. You know, we need to pull our resources together. This is going to be fantastic. I spoke to you last week about doing a music thing. I have the poster on InfoWars, on your site, on my site. What we need to do, people will gravitate. They love this idea. I'm telling you, we got them where we want them. As long as we just keep being honest and honorable, we're going to get them.
No, and that's how we break the matrix. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, is just leaving the matrix, growing your own food, not watching TV, you know, not paying attention to the Hollywood dribble. It's just having a family, caring about your family, reading books, growing a garden. I mean, that is really how you break the matrix, is just removing yourself from it. It gets harder and harder for people every day. But, you know, Roger, you've seen a lot of different, you know, projects to bring people together in the political sphere. I mean, what is the key? How do you do such a thing?
Well, it's getting harder and harder, Owen, because of the censorship and the manipulation at Facebook. Facebook is an extraordinary tool because of its ability to allow you to target exactly who you want to reach geographically, politically, based on age, and so on. Yesterday, I got a call from Seth Weathers with a Michael Williams campaign for governor of Georgia, a solid Trump candidate who is surging in that race. They were shocked when they tried to buy ads on Facebook promoting his candidacy and wanted to link to the followers of InfoWars and Alex Jones. And they were informed that as of May 24th, those targets were no longer available. This is the worst possible type of censorship. In this particular case, Facebook is turning down dollars in order to kneecap a conservative candidate and prevent them from reaching the people who loyally watch InfoWars. It is a classic example of the kind of censorship that we are facing in this enormous fight for net freedom.
And this is a classic example of the personal struggle I deal with, where everything Nelson is saying and doing is what needs to be done, but it's like, I can't even do that because I have to be in the matrix to do this show. It's like, and so then do I just not do, guys, hold Nelson. Nelson, I'm going to get your contact information, because what you're doing is what we need to do. And it's just, we'll give it more attention. We'll be right back. All right. We're going to take a couple more calls with Roger Stone here. 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. You know, before we go to that, Roger, I mean, I'm sure that you've dealt with similar things, maybe not in this nature, but just in your career working in politics, where, Roger, I can't do or say anything right with this Israel-Palestine-Iran deal. I say Israel has the right to Jerusalem. People say, well, Israel soldiers don't have the right to kill and murder people just for protesting. Okay, well, I never said they didn't. Or if I say Israel bad for, you know, patrolling their border and shooting people and throwing gas canisters via drone into the Gaza Strip, then people say, oh, how dare you? Muslims want to kill and rape every Jew and Christian. They're bad. It's like, I mean, Roger, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with such a polarized issue when you just call it as it is and you want to be in the middle ground? I mean, how do you approach these things when you can't please anyone, Roger?
It's extremely difficult. The Middle East is a problem that has vexed foreign policy experts for centuries. And the president, I know, is working the phones very hard, talking to the leaders of virtually every nation in the region, trying to seek a just peace and a solution. I think it's fair to say that everyone has to be prepared to give something, and both sides are at this point intransigent. Do not imply any one particular country in that. One of the things you learn by being on a show like The War Room and being on a network like InfoWars is you're going to be subjected to a torrent of criticism. It just goes with the territory. Owen, I think you're doing a great job.
Well, it's not that I'm complaining about getting criticized or having people upset with me. It's just like, how I just can't even believe how divided it's gone, where you can't even find truth on an issue anymore, or you can't even report on an issue anymore. It's like the Jews run the media. The Jews run all the media. The Jews don't run me. So it's like, what the hell is your problem, man? Why are you saying I'm a Jewish shill? It's like, I don't know. It's just the overall brainwashing, Roger, that just shocks me every day. It seems like it just continues to turn over and turn a new leaf, and you're like, oh, it's going to get better, and then it just gets worse. It's like the whole Russia thing. Like, maybe we have Russian collusion. Oh, wait, no, we don't have Russian collusion. Oh, wait, now there's an attorney involved. Oh, wait, nope, there was nothing there. Oh, wait, Christopher Steele's. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just I don't know, Roger. It's just insanity to me. I just don't know how people deal with this and don't go insane, to be honest with you. People that have been doing this as long as you and as long as Alex, it must be, I just can't even imagine.
Oh, and if I don't get at least 5 death threats a week, then I think I'm doing something wrong. All one has to do is to put my name into Twitter, where you can no longer find me, but you will find a veritable torrent of hate. People advocating my murder, the murder of my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my dogs, people who want to send me to jail because I'm a Russian spy and a traitor. It's insulting in view of the fact that my family was mowed down by Russian tanks in the streets of Budapest in 1956. So it is an outrage that has to be borne, because we're not for censorship. And unfortunately, people have the right to say all kinds of repugnant things. It goes with the territory. But it's because we here at InfoWars are on the cutting edge, because we are the tip of the spear, because our audience is the resistance. Let me take this opportunity to also say that tonight's show is brought to you through the courtesy of BrainForce Plus. This is the very best product, my all-time favorite, this is my opinion, at the InfoWars.com store. It's times like this, after a long, hard day of media interviews and dodging the planted stories about the special counsel and Roger Stone being a focus of his attention, that this product, this great product, gives you mental energy and clarity and a lift overall, without leaving you jacked the way some of these energy drinks do. I highly recommend this at a special price now, $29.95. That's 10 bucks off. You'll notice we have almost 6,000 satisfied customers. BrainForce Plus, a great product. I urge you to order it today. And I like the auto ship function, because for our auto ship customers, a small catch is put aside, knowing that your order is in the queue, and therefore you will never be without this terrific product or any of the products you order at the InfoWars.com store now. I had to put that 10 cents in because I'm looking at my bottle, and I took it before the show, and I must tell you, I feel pretty good.
Well, and I know you've been going around doing interviews like crazy, especially with the new book that came out. So I'm glad that you're not out of BrainForce. I was a little concerned that maybe you were running low. So it's good you got that auto ship option. But it's just the perfect example. So now they'll be saying, InfoWars denies that Jews are in the media. And it's like, I never denied it. It's like people just always have to put words in your mouth. I don't know. I guess I should just enjoy it, Roger. I know that you get a kick out of it, and it kind of even fuels you. So maybe I need to go back, read Roger Stone's book, and find out how I can use this to fuel me. I just wish people would grow up and just ground themselves and whatever their cause is, instead of just jumping the shark every time there's a new development. Hey, you know what? Let's squeeze in one more call for Roger Stone here. We've had Tim in Michigan waiting for a long time. Tim, you're on the air with Roger Stone. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, thanks, you guys. Hey, I love you guys. I love InfoWars. Everybody at InfoWars is intelligent, and I love intelligent people, and that's why I love you guys. Are you there?
Yeah, thank you. We love you, too.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, I just had something to say about the Israeli-Palestine thing. I know when you were looking for a little truth about that, so I'm going to give you some. I'm a Bible scholar. I'm also a history scholar. And if you go back to 1948, I believe, is when all this kind of started with the war that, you know, created Israel. The whole thing is based on Scripture, where, and I won't quote any Scripture or anything like that, but it's based on this idea that God gave them that land, okay, or God would give them that land, is the prophecy, okay? Well, that has not happened. As much as a lot of people want to think that happened in 1948, it does not take, you know, a war killing people for God to give you something. So God has yet to give that land to those people. That's the truth. Now, you make of that whatever you want. The only other thing I wanted to say is you were talking about the war on drugs a couple days ago, and I just wanted to put this out there. We do not have a war on drugs. We have a war on some drugs, okay? And I think that's a very important distinction. And I just wanted to put those two things out there. That's all.
Well, thank you for the call, Tim. And we'll take the latter topic because I think that's an easier one to touch on here. I think it's a fair point. Yeah, I mean, big pharmaceutical drugs are rampant. The CDC's own numbers admit that pharmaceutical drugs kill more people in the United States than cocaine, heroin, marijuana, crack, all of it combined. Yet the attack is on those drugs. I mean, it really just goes to show you. I mean, I don't know if big pharmaceutical is the one, you know, still behind the war on drugs, but it really just goes to show you how the war on drugs really is that. Like the caller said, it's just a myth.
No, you're absolutely right. The war on drugs is being propped up and supported by big pharma and the prison industrial complex, the private prisons. It is an ignominious failure, meaning we've destroyed lives, we've destroyed families, we pay the high cost of incarceration, yet illegal drug use is not going down, it's going up. Drug abuse is a public health problem, particularly for first-time nonviolent offenders. The real drug problem in America is opioids, and the president has identified them. And unfortunately, they are perfectly legal, and they're being prescribed hand over fist by doctors. They're doing incredible damage. The last thing Big Pharma wants is the legalization of medicinal cannabis and the legalization of hemp oil, CBD oil, which doesn't make you high, but does have a sedative and a relaxing effect. These things are far less damaging than opioids, far less damaging for that matter than alcohol for the human system. It is time to reform our drug laws and end the failed war on drugs.
Yeah, exactly, Roger. It incarcerates too many people that are nonviolent offenders, and it ignores the larger issue, which is opiates and prescription drugs that are actually leading to a lot more death, a lot more hardship than the street drugs that they're attacking. And I take it one step further, Roger. I believe that most of the tension between police and citizens actually comes from the war on drugs. And they claim it's a race thing. I disagree. People are sick of cops always looking around because they think they might have a joint or some marijuana in their pocket or something. I think that has a lot to do with it. Final 15 seconds, Roger Stone, send us to break.
Just want to remind everybody, it's a double win. If you buy Stone's Rules at the InfoWars store, as opposed to elsewhere, you help InfoWars and you help Roger Stone. Many thanks, Owen.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
I kind of want to take a new approach to this whole race baiting thing, because I just, you know, it irks me. The race pimps, the race baiters out there that lie and manipulate and try to sow racial discord in this country, division. And I look at a guy like Spike Lee, known racist against white people. I haven't seen the movie. So, I mean, maybe I'll see the movie. Maybe it's a good movie. But Spike, it's like, what do you think your comments, what do you think the things you say and that you do you think that helps race relations or hurts race relations? Now, a guy like Spike Lee would probably admit that it hurts and that he doesn't care and screw white people. And that's why you see this press conference with Spike Lee. Look, Spike Lee is a guy who wishes he was an NBA basketball player. That's why he does that press conference and pretends like he just finished a game. Like, yeah, man. Like, oh, I'm answering the questions after the ball game. I'm cool. I'm Spike Lee. He wishes he was a ball player, so he does this whole thing, does this whole act like he's doing a post-game press conference. But again, when you say things like you say, Spike Lee, are you helping or are you hurting racial tensions or race relations in this country? Well, you're obviously hurting it. Now, whether Spike Lee would admit to that is a different story. I think Spike Lee would admit to it and brag about it and say, screw Whitey. But, you know, people like that run Black Lives Matter and such would probably say that they're actually helping race relations. Well, really, because you're just making them worse. So race relations are getting worse in this country because, see, I'm telling you, no, pull that. I'm telling you, Spike Lee, he wishes he was a ball player. Pull up an image. I'm serious. Pull up an image of any ball player doing a post-basketball game interview. They sit there right like this at the microphone at the podium. Spike Lee wishes he was a basketball player, so he pretends he's a basketball player and says that stuff during the press conference to get a bunch of attention to himself. It's just ridiculous. But you just take what they say. Oh, hey, there he is again. I'm telling you, I know this guy too well. Oh, man. And I don't want to hate Spike Lee. I don't want Spike Lee to be my enemy. Why can't Spike Lee just be a proud American? Why can't Spike Lee just love all Americans? Why does he have to incite racial hatred in this country? Why does he have to pretend he's a ball player at a podium after during a post-game press conference? You're not a ball player, Spike Lee. You're an American. Why don't you try to bring America together instead of trying to separate it on race? But you just take what they say and then you show them for who they are. For example, look at this clip, guys. Clip 8. A Democrat candidate for Michigan governor tells opponent, Muslims hate you. Okay, so what does this do for religious relations? Listen to this clip.
What frustrates me more is not that you have blatant racism on the part of certain people, but what frustrates me more is, in the words of Martin Luther King, is that one of the most dangerous aspects is not when bad people speak out, it's when good people fail to speak out. And what I have not heard is the Republicans on this panel decisively and swiftly call out this kind of Islamophobia, this kind of racism in the context, right, that they are running to represent a state that has the highest per capita number of Muslim Americans in the country. Now, you might not hate race Muslims, but I'll tell you, Muslims definitely hate you.
All right. Oh. Okay. Now. That's a Democrat candidate in Michigan, a Muslim, where you have, where is it in Michigan that has the largest population of Muslims? I forget the name of the city. Abdulrahman Mohammed Al-Sayed says Muslims hate you to the GOP opponent during a debate. Now, what am I supposed to think about that? So he says, think about this. He says that we're guilty of Islamophobia, but at the same time, Muslims hate you. So then doesn't that make Islamophobia legitimate? If Muslims hate me, then Islamophobia would be legitimate. But wait a second. Why don't you address the bigger lie that we're told that it was Muslims that killed 3,000 people during the attacks on the World Trade Center? Why don't you address that then? Is that not true? That's the overarching issue. The War Room here today. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Gerald Celente joins me now. TrendsResearch.com is his website. I've got all kinds of news I can get into with Gerald. I'm not sure if there's something he wants to cover, though, so I will hand it over to Gerald and ask him what is on his mind. What do you think is the biggest story? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, today's the news, of course, on the economic front is the markets. And the equities were down, well over 200 points. They closed down about 200. But we saw a big hit on gold. And that's very important because it's telling you a story here. And that is, why did the markets go down today? Interest rates have now hit a seven-year high. They weren't this high in terms of mortgages, excuse me. Mortgage rates haven't been this high since 2011. And then we just saw the yield, the 10-year Treasury yield, hit during the day 3.09%. This is very big in the sense that you're seeing the markets go down because we can't take an interest rate hike. You're seeing gold go down because now they're betting that they're going to raise interest rates four times for this year rather than three. And the markets can't handle it despite what we're seeing in record amounts of stock buybacks, which Goldman Sachs is bringing up to now this year. They're looking by the end of the year over $1 trillion worth of stock buybacks. That's from the Trump tax plan that gave them all those profits from lowering taxes from 35% to 21% and allowing them to repatriate the trillions of dollars overseas. But even with that, Owen, the markets cannot take rising interest rates. And then we're looking at, again, mortgage rates. And everyone that follows this knows that millennials are living with their parents at record rates we haven't seen in about a couple of hundred years, over 100 years. They can't afford to buy houses. And construction costs are going up dramatically. So again, if interest rates go up, as they're planning, and the equity markets can't even take it with all of this free money coming in to juice them up. And by the way, corporate profits are on average to increase about 25% in this first quarter. They expected 17% increase, again, from the tax cuts. But will it be able to sustain it? And now going into gold, the higher interest rates go, and again, we saw it with the 10-year Treasury going to 3.09%, there's an interest rate, there's a cost for holding gold. You don't get paid anything. So people are going to start getting out of stocks and going into safer bonds if this continues, and it could really crash the market. Now, to put it in an overall perspective, look at the volatility in the Middle East. Look at oil prices. Do you realize that oil prices have gone up in the year 70%? And we just saw retail sales numbers come out for April, and they were only up 0.3%. So if oil prices go up to where you're going to see on average about $3 a gallon, that's going to pull out about $30 billion out of the retail sector that would have gone into restaurants and you know, clothing and other things. So it's very important what's going on, because if these oil prices spike, we're going to see a market crash that will rival the crash of 29, considering how over-leveraged and overvalued the markets are.
But isn't the oil market right now kind of in the middle of a kind of like a no man's land or something, where America is trying to become the number one exporter of oil, but right now Iran still has more control over oil prices? Isn't that kind of shifting right now?
Yes, to an extent, but not Iran only puts out about 4 million barrels a day. United States, and you hit it, by 2020, we're producing more oil than Saudi Arabia, and by 2020 we'll be outproducing Russia. What's going on with Iran with the sanctions is that's going to pull off, again, you don't know whose numbers to believe, but anywhere between 300,000 to 800,000 barrels a day. Then you're looking at what's going on in Venezuela. Their oil production is at a 30-year low. Oh, and that lovely war over there in Libya, you know, Assad, was it Gaddafi has to go? Yeah, they got rid of Gaddafi and they got rid of oil, too. Their production's way down. You got problems in Angola, Nigeria. So there's not a lot of oil hitting the market that used to hit it. And the United States, of course, is pumping out more, but not enough to make up for those other losses. So that,
But don't you think, though, that there could be some sort of a domestic control over oil prices if they're putting out more oil than they used to in the past, if Trump wants to fight OPEC on oil prices?
Not really, because these companies want to sell as much as they can and make as much as they can. And if you've gone through the other oil crises, as I have back in the 70s and forward from that, you know, the oil goes where it wants to go. The government has very little control over that. And particularly if there's war, you know, then that's what's going on, by the way. Now you have Saudi Arabia is fighting with the United Arab Emirates for a piece of Yemen. And they're big oil producers. And by the way, they want oil. The crown prince said they need oil at over $80 a barrel. Yes. And by the way, Saudi Arabia, according to the IMF, it used to be $100 a barrel for their economy to break even, for their budget to break even. Now it's $87 a barrel. Now, to put that into perspective, 2/3 of the people working in Saudi Arabia are employed by the government. So they need the highest oil prices that they can squeeze out.
Well, that'll be interesting to see, because Trump has called out OPEC for rigging oil prices, and that is something that these, you know, the oil barons love to do. I mean, why not double the price of a barrel or a gallon of gasoline if you can do it? And why not try to create a scenario of false scarcity, which they love doing too? I remember during the hurricane that hit Texas, the whole news was, oh, there won't be oil. People rushed to the gas stations. I mean, Gerald, you had lines down the street. You couldn't even get to a gas station. Everybody's afraid it was ever going to run out. Oh, guess what? It never ran out. We always had gas. So that's kind of a false scarcity that they like to create. But do you think that they might try to...
It's both false and real. And the real one being war. And the other one, the Iranian sanctions. The sanctions... You're not going to see European countries and others deal with Iran if they're going to get whacked out on the sanctions. So you're going to see less Iranian oil going into the markets because of the sanctions. And then again, the reality is also what's going on with Venezuela and Libya and Nigeria and Angola and other oil producing countries. So even though the United States is picking up the slack, we're still seeing depletions in surpluses that have been unexpected, actually. But again, if the prices start hitting $3 a barrel, a gallon, you're going to see it take a hit on the GDP of the United States.
Well, it'll be interesting, because I think this is another example of just the status quo changing. I mean, ever since Trump got in, the status quo across the board is changing. So why wouldn't we expect that to hit the oil markets as well? Seeing on where it goes, it'll be a different story. All right, Gerald Celeni is with me for another segment. I've got a crazy story out of Chicago. I don't know if Gerald is aware of this yet, but you will not believe what the city of Chicago is proposing now. We'll be right back. Seriously, apparently we're under attack here. The camera systems are down. Just take the lights off too. Get me the hell out of here. My lights hurt. I'd rather do a real radio deal anyway in a dark studio where I don't have a bunch of lights and cameras on me. All right. Anyway, that's a side issue. Unfortunately, Gerald, or maybe fortunately, we get to see his pretty face. Gerald Celenti's camera still works. So let's pop Gerald in. Give me the view. There he is. All right, Gerald, we're just going to stare at your mug for the segment because mine's... Turn the lights off in here. My eyes hurt. All right. So, Gerald, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Chicago is proposing a raise on property taxes to fund their disappearing pension funds right now. So they've got all these pensions that are unfunded. They can't pay them out. And so what they decided to do is raise property tax specifically on homeowners. So now they're increasing taxes on homeowners. And what they're going to do is theoretically drive homeowners out of Chicago. But here's the problem. Nobody's going to want to move into Chicago now because they're not going to want to pay these exorbitant property taxes on their homes. And so now nobody can move out because they won't be able to sell their homes. Have you ever heard of anything like this? So because the state of Illinois has an unbalanced budget and has been spending out of control for decades, they're now putting the punishment on homeowners in Chicago. Have you ever heard of a state government levying personal property against their own unbalanced budget before?
Of course, they do it all the time. They're always raising them.
Oh, great. And, you had to tell me that.
Again, it's the stupidity of the people running government. And again, you know, I began my career, I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County in New York, including the Yonkers. You know, it's a big city. I was just out of graduate school. And I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. So I'm pretty well steeped in politics. I got a picture of me and Ronald Reagan over there when I had him talk to my group 2 days before he's going to announce that he's running for president in 1976 against Gerry Ford. The point that I'm making, Owen, is that the people that run government are the same people you couldn't stand in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council. They're totally incompetent. They're morons. And you look up the definition. Anybody could do it. Go to Google. Look up the definition of a politician. You know, someone who runs for office, blah, blah, blah. A person who's manipulative and devious to gain advancement within an organization. So you got manipulative and devious, stupid people robbing us of our money. And by the way, Chicago already has a outflow of people because of the problems that they're having. And here's the other level of hypocrisy. You mentioned about taxing the homeowners. What they're doing now, my master's degree was in public administration, just when the whole field began, you know, back in the late 60s and early 70s. And there was no such thing as giving all of these tax breaks to big corporations. I mean, we're talking about Chicago when they're talking about bringing Amazon in. And we're going to give this guy who's, what, Gates, Bezos, some Amazon, and Buffett have more money than 60% of all the Americans combined. And we're going to give this guy a $5 billion tax break to build a slave camp so you could package and ship while they're taxing the people? Let's make this clear. You pointed out an element of what's going on, Owen. It's much bigger than that. It's called the merger of state and corporate powers that Mussolini called fascism. Too big to fail. Look at the money they give to the bigs while they're shafting the people at every level. And it's not only the taxes. It's a neo-feudal society. They take our dough. They're going to create jobs. Well, I'm not going to create jobs. Oh, yeah, but you're not going to create enough. I got to give it to a guy that's going to give me back the money to, quote, campaign contributions. No, it's bribes and payoffs. So going back to the neo-feudal society, they break our chops, take every penny they have from us, but they give the economic elite and the political nobility a free ride down Easy Street.
You know, you said something that it's actually strange that you said that, because I was thinking actually really deep on this last night. The psychological aspect of, I was actually more specifically thinking about billionaires, but putting it into the political spectrum now, applying it to the political spectrum, I think you're onto something here that we don't talk about enough. You talk about the people in high school that were annoying, bothersome, you know, okay, maybe you want to call losers, social outcast, whatever you want to say. Hey, maybe they were bullied. And so I'm sitting here and I look at a group of billionaires and you look at the Bill Gates, you look at the Tom Steyers, you look at some of these other billionaires, and then you look at some of the politicians, and I'm wondering if that psychology that you talked about should be applied more to this. How many of these people that get into government or how many of these people that end up becoming billionaires or in charge of, you know, massive social media networks like Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, how many of these billionaires or politicians hold a resentment in general against humans, against humanity, against America, against people because they felt socially ostracized growing up? I mean, you know that there's people out there that hold that resentment their entire lives, but are so maniacal enough to use that to get rich and powerful and then to pay back their to pay forward their hatred for humanity by crushing them, censoring people they don't agree with on Facebook, making some sort of technology that can spy on everybody at all times right into your home. I mean, I think there's an element of that that we don't talk about enough.
Well, you're right. And again, you know, it's a sickness and they think they're better than everybody. I mean, look at the politicians. They roll out red carpets for these clowns and a bunch of guys dressed up in their uniforms saluting. Is democracy? No, it's not. They prop themselves to a higher level. And going back to what I was saying earlier about the tax breaks, you know, they didn't start doing this until the 1990s. And they weren't giving away money like this to the rich like this. This all began under the Clinton administration. And going back to the pensions and benefits, that was the thing that started happening under the Kennedy administration. I mean, these people retired 55 years old. They got more. They're making more money than they were making before they retired. You know, they, I mean, so they would get the Democratic vote. That's how that happened. That's why they're so entrenched. And that's why we have these enormous bills.
Well, and on the other side of the spectrum, now Seattle has just decided they're increasing their business taxes because they need to give more funding to the homeless. See, the homeless wasn't getting enough money. They didn't get enough millions, so they stayed homeless. So now they're going to give them more millions. Shocker, guess who's complaining? Amazon. Wow. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a mass industrial exodus out of Seattle. Gerald Celente, thanks for joining us. TrendsResearch.com. That's where you can find all of his work. I'll be right back with more of The War Room. Don't go anywhere.
Warning.
This broadcast
is not for the weak-minded. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So, we've got Hawaiian volcanoes causing fissures and natural disasters in Hawaii. You've got hundreds of earthquakes all across the world in the last week. You've got nuclear fallout still from Fukushima on the east coast of Japan, destroying the Pacific Ocean. You've got all that going on, which should concern the world. But no, we got to fight a religious war in the Gaza Strip, and people are going to have to die. And I guess that's how that's going to go. And then here in America, I've got a government that's so out of control, so deluded and so off the path of what America was supposed to be. We spend more time and energy taking care of non-citizens than we do our own veterans. And I have to wake up every day knowing all of this. Oh, we all do. And we have to somehow try to stay sane. But so that's what we do. Before I go any further, this segment is brought to you by Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste, available at InfoWarsStore.com. It's 50% off right now, actually the entire line of Super Blue fluoride-free products. That includes the mouthwash, the Super Blue Super Silver Immune Gargle, and of course the toothpaste line, which includes the peppermint and the bubblegum flavor, which is more popular with children. But if you're not using Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste, I have to beg the question as to why. Why are you still using the fluoride toothpaste that says harmful if swallowed, contact poison control? why aren't you shopping with the good guys, InfoWarsStore.com, who are expanding right now. Let me tell you something. When Alex Jones sees a story about them attacking Dan Lyman from reporting from Switzerland, Alex Jones' first instinctual reaction is, I want more reporters in Switzerland. I want more reporters in Europe. I'll shove it right down their throat. But that's only possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So this segment brought to you by Super Blue Fluoride-Free Toothpaste. I use it. Most of the staff here uses it. I have a bottle here at the office that I use as well. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com. So this segment is brought to you by Super Blue Fluoride-Free Toothpaste. You may not like what I say this segment, but damn, that toothpaste is good. All right. Now, I'm hoping to have more conversations about the conflict in the Gaza Strip tomorrow with a couple of guests I'm hoping to get on, but I won't say it now because I don't have it booked, so I don't want to put something out there that I don't know about. But it's a conversation that needs to be had, and I feel like I'm the guy that can mediate it. So hopefully I have that lined up for tomorrow, but right now it's not booked. In the meantime, let me hit some of these news stories. Now, did you see this yesterday, actually? It got published last night in the nationalreview.com. The stroke page texts and the origins of the Trump-Russia investigation. Now, look, it's the same story that you already know. It just gets more clear and more clear and more clear and more clear how under Obama, and not just the Obama administration, Obama was maybe quarterbacking it, maybe not quarterbacking it, but he was in the huddle while all of this is going on when the Department of Justice and the FBI was used against the American people in the 2016 presidential election. And so they try to divert off of their crimes to say it was Russia, even though Russia had nothing to do with it. So it's all in this story, but there's more stroke page texts that are about to come down the pipeline that are going to blow the whole thing up. It's already been blown up. The question is, are we actually going to get justice in this country, or are we going to continue to live in a land where some are above the law? The Hillary Clintons, the James Comeys, the John Brennans, the James Clappers, the Eric Holders, the Loretta Lynches, the Lois Lerners. These are the individuals that are above the law. Yeah, and I'll just say this. Trump has done a lot. He'll go down as one of the greatest presidents in U.S. history. But if he doesn't drain the swamp, if he doesn't land some of these people previously mentioned in jail, I'm almost going to say Trump's presidency was a failure. Because what's the point? What's the point of living in America if there's people above the law? What's the point of having a justice system if there is no justice? You know, I just can't really deal with it. Really angers me. So this is a story. It's still red linked on Drudge. Everybody was blowing this story up earlier. It's kind of died down here in the late stages of the news cycle today. Now, the origin of this story is Yonhap News Agency out of Korea. The headline is, North Korea cancels high-level talks with South Korea over military drill. It's a short story. The United States and South Korea engaged in a military drill, and it apparently upset North Korea, and they decided to cancel a meeting that they had with South Korea. I'm not sure if that was tonight or yeah, it was supposed to be tonight. Well, they canceled those talks. So somehow, though, that gets spun into North Korea threatens to cancel U.S. meeting over America military drills with South Korea, Yonhap says. This is the Fox News story, but everybody's running that same story. What is Drudge linked to? Let me check. Drudge is linked to Daily Mail. They're all running the same story. Here's the original story. There is no mention once that North Korea threatens to cancel meeting with the United States. That is not in this story. Here's the source right here. I could read the whole story for you. It's not in there. Nowhere in the original story does it say they're threatening to cancel the meeting with the U.S., yet somehow it's red-linked on Drudge, it's headlining Fox News, it's headlining the Daily Mail, It's all over the headlines. North Korea threatens to not meet with the United States, says Yonhap News Agency. You go to the original story, it's not even there. It's not even there. So, okay, that's just how that goes. It's literally on Fox News right now, headline on Drudge. I don't understand where they're finding this, where their source is. They all source Yonhap, and you read Yonhap. It's not in Yonhap. This is, I swear, today is just like maddening, the nonsense that I'm dealing with. And just a side note, what is the, I don't know, look, I follow Drudge religiously. I don't know who was running Drudge today. If it was Matt Drudge, they put something in his water today, because Drudge was just all over the map and just weird, wacky stuff. Spike Lee headlining Drudge most of the day. Nobody would have even heard about Spike Lee if it wasn't for Drudge. So Drudge made a national news story out of Spike Lee. To that, I say shame on Drudge. You should have ignored it. Now, that's my opinion. I wish I wouldn't have heard about Spike Lee today from Drudge. And then the top story that he links about Spike Lee is some hack 2-bit article with just all sorts of spelling errors and grammar errors. It's like, this is not Drudge. This is not Drudge. Drudge doesn't give a headline to Spike Lee and then the top link story, some hack article with errors all over it. Very strange. I don't know. Very strange what was going on with Drudge today. Let me hit another news story. So Andrew Pollack, who is the father of Meadow Pollack, who was unfortunately gunned down in the Florida high school shooting, he tweets this out. Those who were responsible for the death of my daughter will be held accountable. So many people failed my daughter and the 16 other victims. One by one, I will hold them accountable, starting with my lawsuit against the coward Scott Peterson. Now, we all heard from Camera Hog. We all heard from the Acting Drama Club about their thoughts on the issue of gun control. How about Andrew Pollack? Can we get a national news story on the father of one of the victims, the dead victims? Can we get a national news story out of him? You see, he is not blaming people that aren't responsible. He's not blaming the NRA. He's not blaming the Second Amendment. He's blaming the actual responsible parties that allowed this shooting to happen. And he says he's starting with Scott Peterson. Yeah, stranger things are happening here in the studio. Somebody in the control room is out of control. No, actually, I like it better with the lights off. I actually like it better with the lights off. So you can just leave the lights off. In fact, just leave the lights off for the rest of this segment. Screw it. Look at the dark and ominous, the ominousness of the studio right now. Yeah, I think we should just leave it like this. We should just probably just leave it like this. No. I said leave the lights off. Okay, so the lights go off. I say keep the lights off, and then the lights go on, and now I'm blinded, and I can't even read my news stories. Great. Good. I love it. I love it when the gremlins are messing with our studio. Great. Yeah, blind me. Turn some more lights on, please. I'm not blinded enough already. This segment is brought to you by OccuPower at InfoWarsStore.com. Because I get blinded by these lights in the studio every day, I have to take OccuPower every night, and I'm not even kidding you right now. All right, so we're having a little fun here. We've had some weird glitches in the studio today, and I'm hoping I don't go blind with OccuPower at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, so here's what I realized during the break. I'm reading the headline story on Drudge now, which is linked to Daily Mail. North Korea threatens to cancel Trump summit. Again, the original news source always goes to this Yonhap story that doesn't mention anything about them canceling the Trump summit. Now, they're saying that North Korea views the military drill between the United States and South Korea as a drill for a full-on invasion of North Korea. Now, can you blame the North Korean regime for saying that when you look at what's happened in Libya and Iraq and other areas? But with this being a main story all day long and Trump needing the peace deal with North Korea to get a lot of political leverage heading into the midterms, I'm wondering if Trump or somebody is going to address this other than just the media. And that brings me to my point, which is the basis for my frustration today, and I didn't even realize it. I do so much news aggregation that I have to deal with lies nonstop. And because the lies are so consistent, because probably half the news stories you now are either read now are either just made up or just dribble or just some sort of bias hack job, it's almost impossible to find the real stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then it's like I was following Lee Stranahan earlier. He's doing a report on what's going on in Israel, and he's like, look, the IDF is shooting these people. There's people dying in the Gaza Strip. And a bunch of people attack him like, oh, how dare you report about Israel being bad and shooting people? And it's like, you can't even report on the news anymore. It's like people want to be lied to. It's like that people want to be lied to. Oh, okay, you just want me to lie to you? Well, I'm not going to do that because I can't lie to myself. And I'm serious. I need to do a whole show, a caller-based show, where I ask this question. Maybe I'll do this Friday. If the likes of Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch, Lois Lerner, John Brennan, James Clapper, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Stroke, if they are not arrested or at least tried on criminal charges of treason before Trump is out of office, was Trump's presidency a failure? And hey, great. Tax cuts, awesome. Make America first again, great. Secure the border, I love it all. If we don't put people like Hillary Clinton in jail, none of it matters to me. None of it matters. Because you have people that are above the law, and that's not America when you don't have a fair justice system. So you know what? We better figure out what the hell is going on with this Justice Department and Jeff Sessions, and we better figure out what we need to do to lock people like Hillary Clinton up. Because if we don't lock people like Hillary Clinton up, as soon as Trump's out of office, you're going to have the next Hillary Clinton in office, and that's death to America. You understand? So we better get on Trump's ass, and we better get on Sessions' ass. You better start arresting these criminals now. We know what the Obama administration did with the DOJ and the FBI to illegally spy on Trump. But beyond that, to illegally spy on you and me and everyone in this crew and everyone else in the country. If it was the year 1800, they would all be hanging from the highest tree. Guaranteed. Okay? So, tax cuts, great. Secure the border, great. Make America first again. I'm for all of it. If you don't get Hillary Clinton locked up or get her to sing about all the other criminals she's involved with and lock them up, then Trump's presidency was a failure to me. I don't care how it goes down. That's how I see it. All right, let me just do a quick news blitz here. U.S. identifies suspect in major leak of CIA hacking tools. Like, I can't even get to this because I'm so bombarded with fake news and just trying to figure it all out. I can't even get to this bombshell story from Washington Post. So WikiLeaks releases Vault 7 about a year ago, I think, and they identify Joshua Adam Schulte, a CIA employee, as the man that leaked them to WikiLeaks. So guess what you just found out? Vault 7 and the CIA's ability to hack into anything digital is real. Just like everything else WikiLeaks puts out is real. That's why they're afraid of WikiLeaks. Devastating truth bombs. So, Vault 7, folks, read about Vault 7. The CIA can hack anything. You see this phone right here? You see this tablet on my desk? Both hackable by the CIA whenever they want, however they want to record me, do whatever they want. Manipulate things on my computer, put things on my computer. Oh, they can even put a little Russian fingerprint on there if they wanted to say somebody from Russia hacked my computer. You see how they do that? So, you know, the CIA can hack in anything. Total control, totally illegal, totally unconstitutional. Now, let's freak out about the Gaza Strip. Federal lawsuit accuses Obama Center organizers of pulling an institutional bait and switch. Now, this is a classic. So Obama's able to get this funding for his library, claiming it's going to be an official government library, an official presidential government library. Oops, he lied. It's not. It's actually a library for Obama's nonprofit. Well, that does not get the benefits that a presidential library would get from the city. And so because of the bait and switch by the Obama group, they're now getting sued by Chicago. So this guy, Obama, such a fraud, such a liar, he can't even stop robbing people and lying to them even when he gets out of office. Scandal-free president, scandal-free. Homeland Security sends officials to Pennsylvania on primary day. So you've got the primaries going on in Pennsylvania. They claim it's one of the 21 states targeted by Russian hackers. This is such a joke. You know, I'm going to get too mad. Here's an idea. How about we just have paper ballots? Can you hack a paper ballot? Can George Soros hack a paper ballot? Can the Russians hack a paper ballot? So Homeland Security's freaked out about the integrity of our elections enough that they need to monitor everything, be in all the voting booths, go monitor them, hack into the database, into the mainframes, into the electronic voting system themselves. It's such an issue, but we can't just do paper ballots, even though in Texas it's law. You don't get that, though. Force that protects U.S. Oh, jeez. I can't believe this one. Force that protects U.S. nuclear weapons loses explosives on North Dakota road, offers $5,000 to get them back. So that's nice. So the people that protect our nuclear weapons lose explosives in North Dakota, don't know where they are, and are offering a reward to get them back. Yeah, that's who we should have in charge of our healthcare. A quarter of Americans spend all day inside, according to a new survey. That's all day. It goes on. Most people spend most of their day inside, but a quarter of Americans spend their entire day inside. Here's a clue. You need the sun to live. You need the sun's energy. You need the sun's vitamin D. So get outside and get yourself a little sun. Your favorite foods contain bugs, things that will turn your stomach. So this is a story out of CBS LA, and it talks about all the crazy stuff that's in your food. You won't even believe some of it. Yeah, that's why we talk about GMOs. That's why we talk about the processed sugars being unhealthy for you. And that's why we sell products like Myco ZX and other digestive products to help you combat the toxic foods that we eat all day. Royal wedding plans thrown as doubts swirl over Markle's dad. You know, this country was founded on the idea of, well, I don't want a family-friendly show. Let's just say the founding fathers of this country are turning over. They're doing pirouettes in their grave right now, knowing that there's Americans obsessed over royal weddings. What a joke. A royal wedding. Oh, my gosh. Royal wedding. Give me a break. Two surgeons in China developing a method to transplant a human head. Yeah, they already put a pig head in a jar and had it living for 36 hours. So Futurama is right around the corner. Face Off is right around the corner. It's all right around the corner. But let's all focus on a bunch of craziness in the Gaza Strip. It's all insane. We'll be back at it tomorrow, folks, God willing. That does it for me in the War Room. You stay classy, Info Warriors.